Here's Ashley.
Happy Friday! You made it through the week, and I'm so glad because I've got lots to tell you about tonight, from the Menendez brothers to UFOs that shape like Tic Tacs. Yes, more of those Tic Tacs, but there might be something. There might be a pattern that we can start figuring out now. But let me start here with Menendez. Dang, I was not sure what to expect today, but there was action in court regarding those brothers and their chances of walking out of prison. I know you're following it. I know it's complicated. There's all these pathways to freedom. Let me boil it down here. This was a very, very good day for the Menendez brothers. This was a no good, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day for the district attorney who decided to flip the case that was put in front of this judge by the last DA supporting those guys in their bid to walk out of jail. I will explain it all. I will tell you what it means, and I will tell you why next week, if you're planning to go to Los Angeles or if you're planning to be in California, you might actually run into those guys on the sidewalk. I'll explain. And then also, I am a self-professed Titanic nerd. I don't mean big nerd. I mean a nerd about the ship, the Titanic. I love it. I love the movie. I love the lore. I love the history. Whenever I hear 1912, I think, whoa, wait, there's something big in 1912. It's the Titanic. And every time there's news about the Titanic, I am keenly tuned in because it's a mystery. The stuff going on way down there under the sea. It's like a true crime-y kind of mystery. And tonight, there's a big piece of the puzzle that's just been solved. And a lot of stuff we thought we knew is wrong, and it's being corrected. I want you to look at this and then turn this up so we can hear a little bit of it.
This is essentially the last place where they kept the fires going.
You want to walk alongside a life-size scale of the wreckage? You can do that now because a team has actually done it. They have done what no man has been able to do before. And what it means is infinite. Like, you might actually end up on the Titanic replica at Universal Studios, walking on the dance floor and walking to where Jack and Rose, you know, like, you know, king of the world. Anyway, it's such a cool thing. I'm talking to the guy behind this project. You're going to hear all about it in just a moment. It is not movie magic. It is the real thing. Also, the tic-tac-y things. What on earth, or not on earth, is going on with all the tic-tac UFOs? Seems every month or two or three, we get another report of tic-tacs flying through the sky. And these aren't reports from sources who are not credible. They are usually coming from naval pilots, military men and women, people who are in the services. Oh, there's a pattern. Yeah, there's a pattern. A lot of these Tic Tacs are flying around our military assets. Does that tell us that it is otherworldly, or does that tell us that this is really good spycraft? All that coming just ahead, but let's start here. What a day, what a fry-yay for Eric and Lyle Menendez. They spent the whole day in court, virtually. They were beamed in from their prisons, dozens and dozens of miles away, the prison. They were really hoping that a judge would tell the new district attorney in Los Angeles to hold his horses and stand down. And that is kind of what the judge said. Net effect of 7 hours in court today, the brothers live another day to fight for their freedom. And that day, weirdly, may end up being next week. Seriously. Here's what happened. The old DA, who was voted out last November, he said he supported these guys being resentenced for killing their parents decades ago. You know the drill. They were young, and now there are laws saying you can't hold these guys forever if they were young back in the day. But the new DA, the guy who was elected on a get tough on crime mandate, he wanted that petition for resentencing, you know, the DA supporting it. He wanted that pulled. And today was the day the judge made the decision. But not before a parade of bloody evidence actually made its way back into a California courtroom. All of that in a bid to stamp out the hopes for these brothers to get a chance at being resentenced, hence maybe released. In the courtroom today, DA Nathan Hochman made the same points that he's made on this show, that the murders of Lyle and Eric's parents were heinous, and that those boys have yet to take full responsibility or own up to what the DA says is all of their lies. And then Nathan Hochman did something else. He brought out the bloody crime scene photos. That was something Mark Garagos, the brother's high-profile lawyer, said he could not believe.
There's court rules about that, and that not only inappropriate, but it's generally sanctionable conduct.
Did you expect it to go on this long this morning?
No, it's obviously they're trying to divert the whole hearing from what it is.
I always love those pictures, right? The cameras are trying to walk along, and you're just waiting for some, like, in the sidewalk to trip one of them over. But Garagos had his shot at getting up to the lectern in court and talking, and when he did, he emphasized that the brothers had a very lengthy and documented rehabilitation, right? Those efforts are really clear. And when he laid all that out, the judge said, okay, I've got a decision. D.A. Hochman was denied. The petition to resentence Lyle and Eric Menendez, that is a go. That is upheld, which basically means a very, very important hearing is on the books for next week. I'm joined now by Tamara Goodall. She is a cousin of Lyle and Eric's who has been fighting for their freedom for years now. Boy, this is really nice of you to be on the show because I know that you've had a hell of a day, a very long day in court. I don't even know how you made it to the live shot, but I really appreciate it. Give me your reaction to the decision from the judge today.
Well, thank you so much for your time tonight. I'm really, really, really glad about today's decision. And first of all, I just want to make clear, I was not in court today. I did not go in hopes that we would be there next week. And so my superstition held out. So I'm very, very thankful of that. And, you know, honestly, my family owes so much right now to Mark Garagos, Alex Kazarian, Cliff Gardner and Mike Romano, because they have just fought so hard and so feverishly for Eric and Lyle. And honestly, just something that my grandmother Joan has been fighting for so long. And that just has been, just today's decision is just remarkable. And I can't even tell you or put into words the elation my family has felt today. Although we want to celebrate, we're not celebrating yet because this is not the end of the road.
Well, it's baby steps for sure, but this seems like a big, big baby step. And you don't
yes.
have to put into words, Tamara, because I really can hear it in your voice. I can hear that you're super emotional tonight, even though you weren't in court all day. I know you were getting the updates. Have you been able to tell Eric and Lyle? Did anybody get on the phone with them? Do they know?
Well, so they were in the courtroom via video feed today, so they are aware of the outcome of the decision. And I had been messaging with them up until even this morning with Eric. So I have not heard from them yet this evening. I feel like they've been super busy, especially Eric with Tammy and Lyle with Rebecca. So I know that they are really busy preparing for next week, as they have been for the last year and a half, honestly, between the requirements that they've needed to get completed for a parole board review. So it's exciting. I'm just really, really looking forward to talking with both of them. It's just hearing their voices is going to be really exciting.
You know, it's funny. I didn't expect a decision today. And that way I didn't expect that Eric and Lyle would have been in the courtroom all the way through to a decision, especially since they are actually in jail and it was a virtual thing. So thank you for clearing that up, that they got to sit through everything right up to decision. I wanted to ask you a little bit about Nathan Hochman's presentation. I did not know, and I don't know if you knew or if the defense attorneys knew, that the DA was going to do some relitigating today with actual evidence and crime scene pictures. And I know it's been all over the news for 30 years. I know that it's not, these aren't new to you, but they can't be easy. This is Kitty and Jose's blood. This is their crime scene. Yep. How'd you withstand that stuff coming back out again today?
Quite honestly, when I heard that those images were brought out again, it was quite angering. It's so, like Garrigo said, it's just inappropriate. And that's honestly from the DA's team. They haven't really made an actual legal argument about why this motion should be withdrawn. So for them to just go up there and basically make resentencing arguments, it was inappropriate. And I think for me personally, it's just a huge disappointment of a team of elected officials who are there, who are supposed to be representing victims. And while we are multidimensional victims in this, my family are victims. And for them to bring that out, to rehash what happened in 1989, was in no way necessary.
Well, I am sorry that you've gone through this. And at the same time, I'm very happy for you and your family. Obviously, this is great news for you. And like I said, I could hear it in your voice. It's really, it's fresh and it's still very strong. Yeah. I hope you'll talk to us when we get a little bit more resolution next week. It's a big hearing next week. Good luck to you and the family getting through the weekend and the next few days. And we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for doing this, Tamara.
Thanks, Ashley. Have a good night.
You too. I want to bring in the person that Tamara was just talking about, Alexandra Kazarian. She was in court today as part of the Menendez legal team. I can see that smile. I know what that means, but I want you to put it into words.
Oh, well, I love Tamara. She's so wonderful. She's so smart. The entire family is so smart. And, you know, it's telling that she knows more about the laws of resentencing than the DAs seem to today. It was very, very disheartening. The entire hearing that we had, the amount of law that was argued, we could have been done in an hour and a half, but it took 7 hours because Nathan Hochman made a directive to his DAs that he wanted to relitigate the case. And it was absolutely shocking and horrific. And Mark called it out in real time when they put those crime scene photos up, because that has absolutely nothing to do, first of all, with resentencing. And second of all, nothing to do with what we were there for today. Today was a great day. It was absolutely a victory, but it did not have to take that long. But the DAs refused to argue the actual law, which is if one DA invites the court to resentence, can a new DA come in and withdraw that invitation? And they can, in circumstances where you find out that the C file wasn't complete at the time that the DA made that invitation. So there's actually rule violations that are very serious that show that this person actually is likely to reoffend or likely to be a violent person. Violence is the issue currently, not what they did back then. And it would be so much more intellectually honest if Nathan Hochman just came on your show and said, listen, I don't believe in resentencing. I don't think that anybody who's ever been convicted and sentenced to life should get out, because that is the theory that they are proceeding under. That is the argument that they're proceeding under. And Nathan Hochman is representing people in his office who believe that the Menendez brothers should never be free because they worked on that conviction. He's not representing the victims, who are people like Tamara.
Well, in his defense, I will say, because he's not here right now, I will say that he's also representing, you know, it's a kind of a half and half thing, right? If you look at the polling, those who support the brothers getting out and those who support the brothers staying in, at least I saw the latest documentary on TMZ. It was pretty close. You know, it's not completely one-sided. I see you not shaking your head. Why is that?
Because he represents the victims. He doesn't represent the general public. This is not mob law. This is not mob rule.
Okay, but I will say, DAs also represent us, the public, and they keep us safe and they lock people away to keep us safe. So in a way, he represents the victims and he represents the rest of us. So, but to that point, let me read what he said. He said, these murders were calculated, premeditated, cold-blooded killings. Our position remains clear until the Menendez brothers finally come clean with all their lies of self-defense and suborning and attempting to suborn perjury. They are not rehabilitated and pose an unreasonable risk of danger to public safety. And in the vein that he presented a lot of that bloody evidence, which is very painful, obviously, for the family, is it not also, Alexandra, a reminder to the public, it's not all about a Netflix documentary. These crimes were horrible, and these people died terrible, terrible deaths at the hands of these brothers.
Nobody's arguing that that didn't happen. Nobody's arguing that they're not responsible for it. Nobody, they have never said that we didn't kill our parents. That's not the point. That's not the point of the law that we are arguing now. Today, the only issue was, is there room in the law for the DA to withdraw the case, to withdraw the recommendation or the invitation to resentence? It's a very, very small argument. There's a very, very small universe of facts for them to pull from, and they couldn't do it. They could not focus on that. And Judge Jessic over and over again today said, this is irrelevant. This is for resentencing. This is an argument for after I make this ruling. Tell me how you have the authority. And they can't, because the only thing that Nathan Hopkins' office focuses on is the gruesomeness of the crime. So just admit that you don't believe anyone that commits a gruesome crime should ever be resentenced. Just say that.
So I got 10 seconds left, but I got to get you on this. Now that Nathan Hochman will not be standing up in the courtroom next week to fight this case of resentencing, and effectively it will just be the defense attorneys fighting for a resentencing, does this make it a lot easier next week for a resentencing or even a reduced conviction?
Oh, they're still going to fight against it. They will be there and they will fight against it. And maybe Nathan will too.
No matter whether this was pulled or not, he can still stand up and he can still fight.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. Just one more legal question, too. Might the judge make the decision actually on the day next week? And if the judge says, you know what, I'm pulling this down from murder to manslaughter, those doors open up in that prison that day?
It could be. Yeah. That's actually, that could be in the cards. And that's what we're hoping for.
Can I book you on that day, regardless, no matter what?
You got me, Ashley, anytime you need me.
Bring your clients, I'm just saying. Alexandra, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay, I want to bring in Alan Abrahamson. He is a former staff writer for the Los Angeles Times. And the reason I want to talk to Alan is because he covered this case from the beginning. He's also a law professor now, not working for the LA Times anymore. But you have a very strident and strong opinions about this case, and I think they're valid and they should be heard. Your reaction, first of all, to the decision today, Alan?
Yeah, I mean, on one piece of what Alexandra had to say, I totally agree. The issue today was whether the DA's office could withdraw the motion that the prior DA filed, and I totally agree with the judge's decision. Aside from that, we can move forward with a lot of different things that I would take issue with her and what Tamara said as well. So hey, let's have at it, Ashley.
So let's have at it. And well, I'll probably end up being, you know, opposing you just to sort of challenge your thoughts here, as I try to do with my guests. But what about the notion, Alan, that these men have served 36 years now, have stellar records. They've done everything that we want the prison system to do. They have succeeded in what we have laid out as the reason for prison in the first place. Rehabilitation, do good acts, do good works, do good deeds. And under the laws, they do meet the standards. Tell me why you disagree with the notion that the jail door shouldn't open.
Well, because they were sentenced to life in prison without parole, and to do otherwise makes a mockery of what the jury decided back in the 90s. Also, the thing that gets lost in all of this is the discussion about Kitty Menendez. You know, no matter what you think about Jose, the brothers shotgunned their mother to death, and for no reason that anyone has been able to identify. And for 30 some odd years, I've had the image of her in my head. And the very bad fact, the very, very, very bad fact of this case is that after bursting into the den, going crazy with their shotguns, shooting their father to death, Lyle Menendez went back out to the car, reloaded, came back in and put the shotgun barrel up against his mother's cheek and pulled the trigger. That's why they were convicted. And that's what the jury decided. And that's what they're sentenced for. And, you know, it's not to your point about the prison system is designed to rehabilitate people. It's designed to keep them away from society. It's designed to deter other people. It's designed to punish them, you know, not just to rehabilitate people. That's like for a drug crime. You know, you get sentenced to jail for a drug crime. We want to rehabilitate you, not for capital murder.
You know, you're right about that. I'm going to hitch up on one point there. I only have a minute here. And that is to keep me safe from the Menendez brothers if I'm out on the sidewalk. Do you think that they are a danger to other people right now?
Yeah, I don't know. But who wants to take that political risk? You know, I mean, I think it's a legitimate decision. We have a system in place here. The jury decided back in the 90s that these two were guilty of killing their parents. No, a sentence was imposed. For us now, 30 years later, to go back and try to change that, to go back and say, things are different, when in fact nothing is different, makes a mockery of the entire system. And that is fundamentally wrong about we here in California and we in the United States of America do. The jury system speaks and we should respect that decision.
I am out of time, but I could sit in your law classes day after day. I'd be your most keen student in the front row. Alan Abrahamson, thank you very much for being on.
Thanks for having me.
We'll do that again for sure. But coming up next on this program, a cutting-edge breakthrough in a case that is not just big, it's not just massive, it is Titanic. The legendary ocean liner itself, like it hasn't been seen since the night it went down 113 years ago. Mysteries and secrets that have puzzled the experts for ages are finally being revealed. And let me just tell you, they're being corrected. I'm going to show it to you when we come back.
Thanks for listening to News Nation On The Go. I'm Ashley Banfield. We're here for you 24/7 on the News Nation app or on your Alexa. Just say, play News Nation.
When a plane goes down, crash investigators pick up the wreckage and then they put it all back together in a hangar. In murder cases, investigators sometimes recreate replicas of evidence right there in the courtroom. And it is all for the same reason, to answer questions that you can't answer any other way. In shipwrecks, it is not quite as easy to do that, but it's not impossible. Not anymore. What you are looking at is the sharpest, clearest, most accurate images ever rendered of the Titanic, which sank in April of 1912 after hitting an iceberg. That was 113 years ago next week. But now a team of high-tech visionaries has just built a full-scale 3D digital reproduction of the ship that is so real you can almost touch it.
I found this very interesting. It's a steam valve. It didn't come from here. It landed on the wreck after the stern had settled. And the flap is seen in the open position right now.
Why is that important?
Well, this is a line that was taking the remaining steam from the boiler rooms to the emergency dynamos. They provided life to the ship. The lighting, the heating, running the pumps.
That matters a lot. That was a clip from National Geographic, a special that just dropped today. Anthony Geffen is the filmmaker behind it, and boy, did I have some questions for him. Like, first of all, did he have any idea that the result of his work would be so breathtaking?
We released, in 2023, we released a glimpse of the images through the BBC, and it became a massive, massive global news story. So I had an idea that it was going to be a big deal, because people were just amazed. They were seeing the Titanic for the first time in the whole wreck. But what was really fantastic about this project is, if you imagine walking out with the experts and actually being able to find new things. And I'll give you an example. People say, well, what can you find on a digital scan? Well, I'll give you an example. When I first heard about the Titanic as a kid, I couldn't understand how the lights were on. You know, how did they have the lights on when they were sinking? So in this film, the experts walked to and found Boiler Room 2, and they found the evidence that this is where the boilers were alight. And this is where a bunch of engineers had gone down, knowing they were going to die, to keep the lights on and the SOS signals going out. And they saved hundreds of lives. And we went to the very place where they were working. That, to me, is extraordinary. That's the Titanic story. I don't know. I know about a lot of other of them. But this is, you know, they were standing on the very place where it happened. And that's pretty extraordinary. I think there aren't many times in history that new technology like this can actually take you back over 100 and nearly 13 years. And you're right. This is the beginning. I mean, what we've done in the film is 2 years' work, but we now have the Titanic held in time in 2022 when we did the scan forever. We can go on exploring it. And what's really exciting is that the incredible digital scan was used for this television film for Nat Geo. But guess what? As a Titanic, you know, you're going to love this. Next year, you are going to board a small sub in a location-based environment, and you will dive the Titanic just as the team that I first worked with on the Titanic dived the Titanic. And then you'll put a headset on, like a Vision Pro or a new Google headset, and you will, in your own house, walk around the Titanic. I mean, I love it that, in a way, each generation sees the Titanic in a different way. The next generation is going to be able to visit the Titanic all over the world. And I think that's citizen science will be done down there. I think it's very exciting.
Super scary, though, for people who followed that terrible tragedy where the submersible imploded and killed everyone on board. They were very rich people who could afford to do that trip. What about the folks who, A, can't afford to do that submersible trip, and B, are too afraid, given the history? Will we be able to do some sort of realistic trip? I mean, I feel like, yes, given the technology we have now, and go dancing on the ballroom floor.
You will be able to do anything you want with the wreck. Obviously, it's a... You know, it's a place where a lot of people died, so there's a certain amount of reverence when you visit it. But you, I think it's incredible that new technology is going to allow you, ultimately, you the individual, anyone in the world, to visit the Titanic in absolute scale. I can't tell you what it's like, the tests we've done, where you literally put a headset on in your own house, the whole house disappears, and you are looking up at the Titanic. I mean, the next wave of Titanic, you know, Titanic is such an extraordinary story, but it's going to be here among us. But what I like is that you, or anybody else, can go and visit the Titanic. And I think that's really important. That's, hopefully it'll stop people doing crazy trips to the Titanic, which is not necessary anymore.
Well, that's I had that question. Is there any need to even revisit that tomb? It really is a grave site. No, it's a tomb.
It is.
Literally everything, every piece of it exists, and we have access to it. We don't need to go down there.
Absolutely right. I think, and I love the fact that it's not millionaires and very rich people now, but it's everybody can become part and visit the Titanic story. So it's part of a new wave of storytelling that certainly I've been working on, where, you know, you make a film, but now, as it were, you visit using new technology. And this isn't the first one we're going to do. We're going to do several of these. But I'm very excited because the Titanic is just such a big story, and we all feel part of the story in a way, and we always will do.
Why are we all still so fascinated by the Titanic?
I think that it's a very good question. I think one of the reasons is it's so nearly many elements didn't happen. In the film, for example, we discussed that if the experts say in the film, if the Titanic had gone straight into the iceberg, it wouldn't have sunk. Or that actually they recreated and the area of that finally sank the Titanic is the size of a piece of paper. So there's that sort of what if. I think it's also a period in history of people in dinner jackets and the great new passenger liners that people romanticize about. So I think at that, and it's locked in that time and it'll never not be. But I think that the sort of work that Jim Cameron's done on the Titanic, the movie, now this is going to immortalize it, and people are going to go, want more, not less. And I think the Titanic will be with us forever.
Anthony Geffen's new documentary is called Titanic, The Digital Resurrection. You can stream it now on Nat Geo and Disney Plus. And coming up, one could be a fluke, to a coincidence, but after that, those tic-tac-looking UFOs start to get the attention of even the most die-hard skeptics. And the latest sighting? It just got real, real close to one of our warships. I'll show it to you next and get the lowdown on America's next move.
You're listening to Banfield on News Nation's audio stream, available 24/7 on the News Nation app, or just say, Alexa, play News Nation.
Time to put on your mystery hat, because we've got a brand new sighting of a UFO, the kind that we're starting to see a lot more of these days. In fact, this miss may just be the Honda Civic of interplanetary travel, flying Tic Tacs. Tonight, we have another Tic Tac show, courtesy of investigative journalist Jeremy Corbell and the co-host of his podcast, George Knapp. They got their hands on some video from a U.S. warship off the coast of Southern California. What you're about to see happened back in Feb of 2023. A witness describes what he saw.
But when we start talking about all of the objects, all four objects, and what we witnessed was all four of them, all in synchronous, jetting off into the abyss, all four, all timed together and all left. And we were like, holy shit. And they were all, maybe the second they left, maybe 3-4 seconds pass, I run to my station and I look at my radar and they're all gone. They're all off radar. And I was like, that's it. They all zoomed off. But it's clear that they're in communication with one another and synchronized, like 3-2-1 countdown, let's all go.
This Tic Tac had no typical propulsion, no exhaust, no wings, no tail, no rotors, the kinds of things that we all use to get around. It reminded me, actually, of the first reported Tic Tac sighting back in 2004. That one was also off the coast of Southern California, and it was caught on video by U.S. Navy pilots. So what does it all mean? Ben Hansen always has the answers. He is the host of UFO Witness on Discovery Plus. Kind enough to be with us tonight. Hey, Ben, thanks for doing this. Okay, I'm starting to see a lot of Tic Tacs. Is it time to worry?
Well, Ashley, they've never left. You know, we've been studying this area off of Catalina Island, San Clemente. It's, you know, Southern California. There's a very deep channel that goes between the islands and the mainland. And as you said, back in 2004, this is where that Tic Tac video was filmed and where they were seeing these objects regularly. So in this particular case, you couldn't really ask for anything better. You have eyewitnesses who visually saw it coming up out of the water, by the way, and then recorded it with thermal camera. And also, you know, you have these sensors that were on radar that were able to pick it up.
It's hard to see in the video, but the witness talked about somewhere around four of these guys flying in formation. I'm only able to really see one, and I'm not sure the viewers can see better than I do, but talk to me about this business about formation. I'm not sure we've seen multiple Tic Tacs before.
So if you remember way back with the Nimitz case, they had been seeing multiple objects show up on radar, and then they would instantaneously show up maybe 60 miles away and somewhere else. So a lot of these do involve multiple objects. In this particular video, which they're still looking at, I can maybe make out two. This is not the raw footage, by the way. This comes from, I believe, one of their smartphones as they were recording the screen. So we're not seeing the whole footage. That hasn't been released yet. But remembering that they visually saw this, and then when they go back out to the bridge to look for it, they watched at least four of these move away in a synchronous fashion, instantaneously, just disappeared.
So you mentioned the Nimitz. There's this fighter, this warship as well, this incident. There's the U.S. Navy pilots who were flying a jet when they saw their Tic Tac. Seems like the Tic Tacs are around a lot of our military assets, which makes me start to wonder, is this really otherworldly, or is this just really sophisticated potential spycraft of another nation?
And the question always is, you know, that's a scary thought as well, because this is not what we call next generation technology. It's not something that we could maybe realistically achieve in the next, you know, 10, 20 years. When you can instantaneously disappear and reappear 60 miles away, I mean, that's really, in my opinion, beyond what we have available. And also the Tic Tac shape, we're seeing a lot of that. But in this area, too, we've got spheres. I've got reports that, you know, boat operators have had what looks like a city of light. I mean, a whole city coming up from underneath them, everything lit up around them like daylight. And that jets have possibly been scrambled to intercept and try to find out what's going on under the water. So this is a hotspot location. It's not just isolated to the West Coast, but the Tic Tac shape does seem to be something that is reoccurring often.
Can't believe you just said whole cities underwater. I am not going to sleep tonight, Ben Hansen. Thanks to you, Friday. Thanks
welcome.
For being on. Weekend. I appreciate it. I am going to call you back, too, because this just keeps happening. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Okay, still to come, folks. What not to write in your dear diary. If you're an adult, anything suggesting you had sex with a kid. Because trust me, it won't stay private for very long. After a break, the Illinois teacher and her 15-year-old student and the messages she probably thought we would never see. Spoiler alert, we have said messages, and I'm reading them next.
Across America.
This is just into the News Nation newsroom.
News Nation's weekend team has you covered.
New information this weekend.
A lot to unpack there.
All day, all weekend long.
We thank you for making time.
We certainly thank you for your time tonight.
Weekends only on News Nation. The biggest trials in America, and Banfield is all over them. Lori Vallow, Karen Reed, Rachel Morin, the Menendez brothers. The case isn't closed until you've seen it on Banfield. Weeknights 10, 9 Central, only on News Nation.
If you're a teacher, a few tips to avoid being featured on a true crime show. Don't have sex with your students. It is advice that might be a little too late for Christina Formella. Ms. Formella is facing two counts of aggravated criminal sex abuse and one count of criminal sex assault against a minor involving a 15-year-old student. Police say they found some pretty damning stuff on her iPhone, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But you may remember when police showed up in her driveway.
You don't have anything on you? You can just grab whatever you need.
Whatever I need?
Yeah, whatever you need, like your phone, your purse, go and grab it.
Is she going somewhere?
Yeah, we're going to explain everything to you guys.
And you might also remember the epic meltdown when they actually did explain and reveal why she was being arrested.
Am I in trouble? Like, I'm so lost right now.
I'm sure you are. Like I said, I can't answer any questions right now. I'll just tell you that right now you're being detained.
Oh, my God.
As for what the cops said was on her phone, things she allegedly wanted to say to the boy. Here we go. I went back and screenshotted every single time that I said we should break up until after the wedding and after you graduated. And every single effing time you came back and convinced me it would be fine. You ruined us. I warned you we should never have started dating a long, long long effing time ago, and you gaslit me and convinced me it was fine. And it gets worse. Quote, I'm effing mad. I let a 16-year-old F with me like that. In the end, we both lost. You lost the girl who would have stuck with you through thick and thin. And just when you think it can't get more delusional, a section titled Manifestations. Formella allegedly writes this. We will be in each other's lives forever. We will be able to love each other while also living our own lives. Christina Formella now says those notes were just an outlet for her anxiety. And she told police that the boy was the one stalking her and claimed that her husband knew all about it. Small problem. The husband told police he was not, in fact, aware of any stalking. For her part, Formella is denying everything and said the following, quote, everybody comes after me because I'm good looking. She's due back in court on Monday, regardless of how she looks. Quick update now on the Karen Reed retrial. The United States Supreme Court has now denied Karen Reed's request to shut down the whole thing. She had argued that when her jury had deadlocked back in 2022, they actually did reach verdicts on two counts of the three, and that retrying her would amount to double jeopardy. And she went all the way up the appellate ladder to the Supreme Court. It didn't work. Supreme Court said no, and prosecutors will again be able to accuse her of killing her boyfriend by hitting him with her SUV. And testimony in the retrial should get underway next week. Still to come, what weighs about 600 pounds and disappears into thin air? I can answer the first part. It's cows. The second part, though, that is a mystery. But roughly 200 cows have vanished in Colorado. And it's got a multi-agency task force scratching their heads. We're going to wrangle up some of the theories and let you decide next.
This is News Nation, ranked least biased among news channels. That's why we're America's fastest growing cable news network. Go to joinnn.com to see for yourself.
If somebody offers you a cow this weekend at a price that's too good to be true, don't buy it. It might be hot. Back in November, 187 beef cows went missing from different ranches across Colorado, totaling about $400,000 in losses. The authorities formed a multi-agency task force, sending out search planes and offering a $10,000 reward. But so far, only 17 of the missing cows have been found. And not by the task force or the search planes. They were found by a bull rider turned cowboy detective who has been scouring the terrain on horseback. So where are all the other cows? The major threats to any grazing livestock are weather and illness and predators, but nobody has found any carcasses. The cows could have been rustled, but there's no truck big enough that could make it through that terrain. Alien abduction is another theory, but everybody knows that extraterrestrials are rumored to be vegan. So it turns out we are right back to square one, a big old Friday night mystery. And speaking of Friday night, that means it's the weekend, but we have a big Monday for you because in the Rachel Morin trial, the state rested. And then the judge said on Monday, the defense is going to present its case and then we could have closings. So wow, expect it to be a pretty short defense case. Closings, those are usually pretty short. We might actually have a verdict on Monday. So make sure you come back on Monday. We're going to do full coverage of that case. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear what the defense says.